Boy, I don't know here. Can I stand up and be able to talk about this subject? It can be tough. Christian family is under attack by the forces of evil. Christian marriages are disintegrating at alarming rates. Children in Christian homes are not receiving the proper training and modeling from their parents. And from my perspective, a major contributor to that is a tragic slide as a husband and a father not being the spiritual leader. In the scripture, Luke 1, verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of God's commandments and regulations blamelessly. One of the major concerns that women voice is that their husbands show little or no desire to be the spiritual leader of their families. The wives feel awkward because they don't want to step into that role. And they're fearful that if they surpass their husband's spiritual maturity, they'll leave their husband so far behind that they get discouraged of the idea of even trying to catch up. Therefore, wives are reluctant to grow. And husbands, when the husband's not experiencing or exercising that, it affects the well-being of your entire family. Not just your wife, not just your kids, the rest of your family. When it comes to the condition of the Christian family today, we men can often be our own worst enemies. Christian family is under attack by the force of evil. Christian marriages are disintegrating at an alarming rate. Bob, how many did you say 2 weeks ago? 50 to 68%. But guess what? It's not too late to change. You and I can begin to turn this slide from the Christian family around. All it takes is a man willing to pay the price. One man who is willing to pay the price. One man who desires to become the man under God's own heart. That one man who may not make a difference in the world, but can most definitely make a difference in his family. Like it or not, if you're married, God has placed you there. He's placed you as a husband and the father. And you're in charge of your family's spiritual conditioning. By your own growth, or lack of it, you regulate the maturity of your wife and your children. It's kind of scary. You're regulating the spiritual maturity of your wife and your children. The other sobering fact is that God holds you and me as husbands and fathers responsible for that conditioning of our families. Now, what exactly does that mean to assume a more active role in leadership? Here are some examples that Jim George has put in this book, Man After God's Own Heart, is encouraging your wife's spiritual growth, protecting your wife, and then leading your wife. And love by leading. The most significant way to encourage your wife's spiritual growth is to be growing spiritually yourself. You set the spiritual pace for your wife and your children. In some marriages, a wife will wait for her husband to take a role of spiritual leadership before she starts growing herself. And in other cases, A wife will slow down her growth. In both scenarios, what's your wife doing? She's retarding her spiritual growth so that you don't feel bad. I struggle with that a lot, and I'll get into that just a little bit later. But no matter what, we got to change if you're going to encourage your wife's spiritual growth. Here's a passage that can really challenge us in our own growth. And it's from Luke, chapter 1. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Do you know who they were? They were parents of John the Baptist. Who was John the Baptist? Wasn't he the herald of Jesus Christ that came out and told him about, you know, who he was going to be? God desired a special set of parents to raise a son, a child, that had a special mission. If you read between the lines of that, what did he do? He picked a special man and woman to raise a child with a special mission. God is asking that both the wife and the husband grow spiritually, to have the greatest spiritual impact, not only in our family, but also in our ministry. We both need to be growing. Once we as husbands grasp this reality and start growing, we can begin to assist our wives in their growth. Our assistance can be simple as having daily Bible readings, and then coming together at the end of the day to compare notes. It means that we'd have to study a book of the Bible together, or study as couples together. And there's plenty of materials out there for that. There's no excuses. You can't use an excuse that, I can't find the right material. So the lack of resources is no excuse. We as men just need to take the initiative to be more active in that role of leading our family. Encouraging our wives' spiritual growth doesn't always mean that you have to personally be a part of that growth process. Sometimes you only need to be a spiritual cheerleader. Okay? Encouraging her to in whatever direction that she may need. Remember your wedding day? You made a vow to nurture your wife. Nurturing her involves both the physical and spiritual needs. And the first step, of course, is asking God to give you a fresh commitment to grow yourself. Then ask your wife how you can help her. Commitment. That's a pretty neat word. This is one of my favorite things right here, praying God's promises. Commitment. The great word of Jesus to his disciple is abandon. To commit our lives to Christ, to be totally abandoned to Him, is absolute surrender. Yielding to Christ is confessing every known sin in your life, yielding every area of your life. It means yielding your wife, your friends, your family, your business, your career, your ambitions, your soul, your innermost thoughts in the depths of your heart, yielding them to Christ and holding back nothing. To commit is abandonment, surrender, and yielding. And it's much more. Jesus tells us, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Commitment. Second thing is protecting your wife. As we look in Ephesians 5 and focus on another element of the spiritual leadership of the family, the protective aspect of leadership in verses 25 and 27 through 27, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and give himself up to her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing and with water of the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. With this, Paul shows us that this is not a one-sided submission, but a reciprocal submission. He gave himself up for her, not only the expression of our Lord's love, but also an example of how husbands ought to devote himself to his wife's good. To give oneself up to death for the beloved is a more extreme expression of devotion than the wife is called on to make. Jesus Christ proposes to present the church to himself without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He desires that the church be holy and spotless. And to do this, he must constantly protect her. He watches out for her purity. This, then, is God's picture to you and me, as men after God's own heart, of which means to be the loving spiritual protector. We are to protect our wives from the influences of the world. How are you doing that? Are you doing your own thing? Are you so oblivious of what's going on around your home that you don't realize the influences of the world on your family? I mean, stop and think about it. Adam and Eve. Where was Adam when the serpent was questioning Eve about God's love for her and for them? Busy. And then, why didn't God stand up for himself or God's love for them? I mean, just stop and think. What if? Things would be a whole lot different. Now think back again to those vows you stated on your wedding. Somewhere the minister mentioned from Ephesians 5 about protecting your wife from the world. And you kind of think about, how can you do that? Well, it's pretty cool here. This is a great book because he's given us some ideas. Pray for your wife's purity and protection daily. You're driving to work or whenever, keep praying for that. Determine together if the place where your wife's work is a healthy environment for her spiritually. That can be real scary. Be aware of what she's watching on TV. And shield her from people who might have a negative effect on her spiritual growth. That list can go on and on. But then love by leading. The first thing to remember is that it's never too late to get started. That all God is asking of you is to give leadership in your marriage a best shot. Give it your best shot. And then don't give up. Don't ever give up. And the easiest thing to do about that is to grow yourself spiritually. Right there. Read your Bible daily. Avoid people who drag you down. Avoid tempting situations. And gentlemen, don't flirt with compromising situations. How many times every day or every week, somehow or another, are put in compromising situations? Encourage your wife to get involved in a women's Bible study at church. Help her to get that guidance. Another good word. God knows our nature as no one else does. God knows the future as no one else does. He has a purpose for our lives. These three reasons reveal why God's daily guidance in our life needs to be important. If we let God guide us, He will provide us each step of the way. As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. From Romans 8, verse 14. A training of seeing eye dogs advises a blind student to walk closer to him. The dog cannot guide you if you keep him at arm's length. It's the same way with God's guidance in our lives. We must draw him ever closer through prayer and the study of his word. Start praying together. I can tell you that it took probably close to 14 years after my accident that I started praying with my wife together. And I can remember that first time that it was pretty powerful. Gentlemen, don't let 14 years get in your belt before you do that. Start leading with understanding. In your marriage, you need to assume the leadership role so that you can literally shoulder more of the physical responsibilities in your lives. Hassling salesmen, mechanics, or any other situation where your wife would have to confront a man over issues that had to do with things with your family. Avoid that. Share financial decisions. Take a more active role in your children's lives. And honor your wife. Just as Christ honored the church. I have to say this little verse here before I continue. Because I know my wife was praying for me and she's probably praying for me now. But this was Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help others in a time of need. I struggled with this talk a lot because I can tell you that I wasn't the spiritual leader of my family, not for a long time. I wasn't able to be the spiritual mentor for my kids until after they were way past that age. Some of you may have kids that age, you know, they start getting into 11, 12, 13, you know, and they don't come to you as often. So I miss that. And for that, I'm extremely sorry. The other thing that tears on me is that I've been married for 34 years. But I was married once before. You know, and understanding the commitment that you make into the wedding vows as for life. I mean, that was hard. I mean, I've got a scar that will stay with me forever with that. And we just always have to know that God has something for us, no matter what. As long as we keep praying and studying His Word. But the biggest thing was that I got married for the wrong reasons. And then I got divorced for the wrong reasons. It followed my heart. But I didn't really listen to what I needed to be. I didn't really listen to what I had to do. God teaches us to be a good husband and just don't follow your heart, because your heart can be deceived. Is that we have to stay in His Word. I know that's another hard talk to give too, just that there are so many that I know that are in this room that are divorced or going through a divorce, or even afraid of divorce before they even get started. So many things affecting our lives that we need to watch out for and be careful with. Understand what God has for us. Brings me to a cool little story. It's called The Rock. A man was sleeping one night in his cabin, and the Lord woke him and told him that He wanted him to go out and push on the boulder that's in front of his house, in front of his cabin. So he did this. And for many years, every morning, sunrise and sunset, he went out and pushed on this boulder. And then as us humans or men always seem to do is that we'd let a little discouragement get in our heads and then feel like, what am I doing this for? I've been pushing on this for years. And then at that same time, when you allow that to happen, then who comes in? The devil. And he'll say, why are you wasting your time? You know you can't push that rock. Why are you doing this? And so then he says, well, okay, fine. I realize that. So he just goes out and does minimal effort. And doesn't try any harder. And then when that starts bothering him, he realizes that what does he need to do? He needs to get down on his knees and pray. And so he brought it to the Lord and asked, Father, why have you given me such a task that I cannot complete? And he said, my son, you have done everything that I have asked. I told you to push on a rock. I never once told you that I wanted you to move it. I will move the rock. You did what I asked you to do. You committed to me for what I wanted you to do. Look at yourself. Your arms are stronger. Your legs are stronger. Your back is strong and sinewed. The calluses on your hands. So, what are the things in your life? Struggling with divorce? Struggling with alcolism? Struggling with drugs? Worried about losing your job? Push. There are so many different scenarios. Just whatever is happening in your life. If something right here. Push. Loving your wife is the starting point of becoming a husband who cherishes and protects and nourishes the wife. No husband woke up this morning and says, I think I don't love my wife today. Mm-hmm. No. Yet by our actions or lack of actions, what are we telling her? Mm-hmm. Don't let it just be you. Start following God's command to your life so you and your wife, when you are presented in front of somebody, that they can actually say, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Push. Things aren't going right. Push. If you want to find an answer, talk to a friend. Most assuredly, push. Pray until something happens. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank You, praise You for all that You bless us with. Father, I just thank You for this ministry. And I'm always truly amazed at how You knew that each man was going to be here today and around the tables that they're at. Father, I just pray that You'd be with us and guide us. You know our wants and our needs. You know our desires and our hurts. And with that, Father, I just pray that You be with each and every one of us. Be with our ministries that we're involved with. Continue to watch over the great banquet, Father. And the one that starts this weekend and be with the guests of these past two weekends. And Father, I also ask that You just a special prayer to lift up the friends and family of a gentleman by the name of Vince Burnett that passed away. Just be with him and guide him and just help them to know that You are God and that You are with us always. Be with us, Father, as we ask these things in Your Son's most gracious name. Amen.